You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So, I'm Davis, and my wife of 3 years minus 10 days, Kelsey, is here in the front. So if you're someone that's new to the church, or if you're someone that always sits on that side, we always sit on this side, and sometimes there's just far too many people in the middle to be able to get to the other side and meet you. So that's Kelsey. We also have a dog, but his name is the same as one of Heidi and Raphael's sons, so I don't want to get any confusion in the sermon yet, so I'm not even going to say his name. But we are very excited to be a part of City Church. We joined last spring. We took the Discover City Church membership class, and we were very happy to stand up front here with a number of other new family members and join this church publicly and make a commitment to the church. But one really cool thing that we've enjoyed about City Church is we joined knowing that a lot would be asked of us. And we've had some incredible opportunities to serve in various ways in the City Kids side of the wall over there, through greeting, through a couple other things. Today, I get to present a message. And I gotta say that it is some of the most rewarding time to really, really invest in our church family. Because not only are, I assume that people around us are being served in some way by what we're doing, but really, we are being impacted greatly by the friendships that we've gained through those times. And also, our faith has been really, really pushed and grown quite a bit in those opportunities. So I highly encourage you guys to, if you're new to City Church, or even if you've been here for a while but are just a little hesitant about really investing and sinking your deep roots down into this church, I'll give it a pretty good review. Go ahead and do that. So today we're going to take a small step forward in our month-long look at the chapter 13 in Matthew, and this is the parable of the sower that Scott read earlier. And we're going to actually reread a section of it right now. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. In my Bible, it's page 818. And you guys have heard me use that joke like five times in the past year, so it doesn't land anymore. Someone in the back, if I say this out loud, maybe someone in the back is going to pick up a few Bibles and start walking around. If you came today without a Bible, please, you know, as they walk down the aisle, like reach out and grab them or something and ask for a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible at home, keep that Bible. Please, don't give it back to us. In fact, when you go back home today, open it back up to Matthew 13 and see if you get the same impression from the passage as I did today. So as Glenn's going around, I'm going to start reading. We're going to start in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears, let him hear. So today, I really want to speak to folks in this church or visiting this church who have received the good news of Jesus' ministry on earth, including his death and resurrection. And you've received it with great excitement, but you're unable to sustain that excitement and joy when you leave the doors of this church. But I'm also talking to those who express their love for Jesus after a great victory in life, but it's hard to find him in the losses. And I'd also like to address folks who maybe your faith walk looks more like a roller coaster ride than a drive on a paved road. And I'd also like to talk to someone who might know someone in that condition. The I'm asking for a friend crowd. And my prayer today in a moment is going to be that my words do not discourage anyone who's in those conditions, that condition of the heart. But I would like to see you lifted up and inspired to allow Christ to remove the rocks out of your soil that prevent your roots from growing deep. So please pray with me. Lord, let us be a church that is eager to hear your word and apply it to our lives by your strength. Please give us a new or renewed understanding of your character today. God, please keep me focused throughout your message this morning and guide my thoughts and words. And God, if there's anyone in this room today whose roots are shallow and are susceptible to the scorching heat of trials and persecution, God, please direct their ears this morning and prepare their hearts. Please remove the rocks in our soil so that we may be a strong, fruit-bearing church that glorifies you and brings you great joy. Amen. Well, as Raphael indicated earlier, I do have the greatest job in the world. I get to work in a Christian camp all year round, and I even have decent coworkers. My wife sits at a desk right next to me, and now I'll list my decent coworkers. Just kidding. And right across from my desk is actually my brother's office, and he's actually sitting here today. Raise your hand there, Peter. That's Peter, my brother. He doesn't know it, I guess. but in my job, I work on planning programs well in advance, and then I also help recruit and train and coordinate our summer staff. We usually hire several dozen staff members throughout the summer. Most of them are like 16 to, say, 22, 23 years old. And a really, really cool thing about my job is that the fact that I'm not very particularly gifted at working very well with young children does not seem to be a hindrance to how well I do my job, at least from what I know. The thing that I get to do in my job is I get to invest in these young adults and help them, give them resources to love the youth that come to our camp in better ways. And that's my greatest joy. I've gotten to see many of our staff members from when they were little campers, and I was even their counselor. I've seen them grow up to be tremendously bold and confident men and women of God. And I even get to say things like, hey, do you remember that thing that I told you to do when I was your counselor and you were my camper? Don't ever tell your campers to do that. They have grown to be these men and women of God despite me being their counselor. And many of our staff members find great delight in the Lord in their time at Susqua in the summer. Most of them are at Susqua for 4 to 12 weeks, maybe even a little longer for some of them. And they often tell us at the end of the summer, boy, I really feel like I grew a lot closer to God this summer. And honestly, it's hard not to. Our daily schedule starts with staff prayer in the morning and a time of sharing. Then they go right from there to chapel with a preacher. Throughout the day, we have scheduled Bible studies. We have meals together. We live and work with Christian coworkers. The evenings end with devotions and sharing of thankfuls for the day. It's hard not to have a better understanding of the character of God at the end of a summer at Susqua. But the hard reality is that sometimes many of these staff members will go home to their schools, their jobs, and they lose what they felt at camp. They were on this like spiritual high, and it wears off, sometimes really quickly, sometimes it takes a while. It could be just time degrades it, or maybe it's, tests or different stresses, family life. And I went through this myself even when I was a summer staff member at Susqua, and there are periods of my life where I feel the same way now. Because sometimes I'm one of those guys that I can't see the forest unless the tree is being swung at me like a baseball bat. And last week, I want to do a very quick review of what Gus Bird shared about the very first soil in this parable. He shared about the seeds that were scattered on the pathway. And the pathway was a very hard soil. And the seeds just landed on the path. They weren't able to sprout and go down into the soil at all. And birds came and picked them up, and they had no chance to live. And one of my favorite one-liners he gave was that the Pharisees, who were like the religious elitists of the day, he compared them to the pathway soil. And he said that they were unable to see the message of Jesus, which is the seed being scattered, They couldn't see that he was their savior because they were so focused on that pathway ahead. They were very focused on maintaining laws and rules. And in fact, they were so distracted by the fact that Jesus was performing miracles on Sundays that they could not see him as a true savior. They had this intellectual barrier that prevented them from seeing that they've been waiting for their savior for thousands and thousands of years. And they just did not see him when he was right there in front of them. They had this mind block in place. And that wasn't just a barrier that was evident in the lives of the Pharisees, a specific population 2,000 years ago. We see that in our church today even, and in your friends and in your family. You can very easily fall into that pathway condition of heart. Going to church on Sunday is pretty easy. Even joining a membership class is easy. Reading your Bible every now and again is easy. But the difficult thing is allowing Jesus to make a personal penetration into your heart. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. If you are not letting Jesus make a personal penetration into your heart, you are doing these things without the Word of God doing any work in your life. And when I say doing work in your life, I mean you realizing that you are not able to gain the favor of God in any way by your own strength. You realize that you need to pleadingly go to Jesus to rescue you from your sinful and broken state. And if you aren't doing that, you aren't getting it, and that seed does not have a chance to grow in you. So as I said, last week we talked about an intellectual obstacle. This week, we're going to be talking about emotional obstacles to our faith. So let's turn our attention to that second soil, the rocky soil. If you look ahead in the passage to verse 20 and 21, we see Jesus' explanation of the soil. And it represents people who have received the gospel joyfully, and they sustain that joy for a little while, but ultimately they fall away as a result of trial and persecution. I do fully believe that Scripture is without error, and it is completely relevant in 2017 as it was back in 0 BC. But it is important to remember that the people back then, it was 2,000 years ago, and they lived on the other side of the planet, and they were a different people than us. So I think to be able to fully understand or get the picture that those people had when they were listening to Jesus on a beach as he's out on a boat, I'd like to look at a little bit of the agricultural context of that day. In Pennsylvania, well, and I should say, I was a geography major in college, so this is the stuff that really excites me. Kelsey had to kind of tone down this side of what I wanted to talk about. I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about tree roots for the next hour. And I am going to, just kidding. So I'd like to take a quick dip into what the rocky soil actually looked like over in the Mediterranean region. When you picture rocky soil in Pennsylvania, you probably think of like maybe a place where rain or floods have eroded all the good soil away and you just have rocks exposed. Or maybe you see on the mountains, you see these big boulder fields. And that's not really what the rocky soil looks like in Israel. The rocky soil that's being referenced, likely from the surface, looked like regular topsoil, but about 2 or 3 inches down were these big slabs of limestone. And limestone is a very, very flat rock, but limestone, a really cool characteristic of it, is that it retains heat very well. All right, so there are three reasons why what seems like a kind of pointless, weird geology fact, there's three reasons why I think that's important to understand in this passage. So first of all, I think this one's fairly obvious. With the rocks being here and the soil here, the seed cannot grow very deep. The root gets stopped and can't go anywhere. And the next thing is that the sower scattering the seed likely doesn't really know what's just below that surface. You know, it looks like good topsoil to them. But then the third thing is that ability to retain heat that I mentioned, it's able to retain its heat throughout the entire night. So it's being warmed up during the day by the sun, and then through the night, it stays warm. So the seeds, they actually have like a perfect incubator almost, and those seeds will even spring up faster than they might in other topsoil. And it's a very exciting flourish of, it's a growth spurt in the beginning. I mean, those details are important when we look at this soil versus the other soils in the parable. So seed scattered on rocky ground, the rocky ground that we look at in Pennsylvania, it's just as likely to be scooped up by birds as it would be on a pathway, right? I mean, those boulder fields, birds can get their beaks in and find them. And also, in Pennsylvania, we've got a lot of creepy, thorny vines that grow through rocks, and so it's very likely that in Pennsylvania, those thorns could, choke out any seeds. So let's look at it. Picture this rocky soil we're going to talk about as that Mediterranean soil found in Israel. That's, really good topsoil. So it's very, very different. Different than last week's and different than next week's too. So in verse 21, Jesus tells us that the rocky soil was scorched in the sun when trials and persecution arose. And Christ, if this is your condition, Christ is not a part of your crisis. When the hard times come, you may turn from Jesus and say, well, what use was that? I'm still being hurt. Jesus did me no good. And if that's the case, you don't truly understand that to know Jesus as your Savior, you have to trust him more than yourself or things of this world. The old American adage of, everything I ever got, I earned, or, picking yourself up by your own bootstraps, that's not applicable to the Christian faith. In fact, I would contend that even though we often think of, emotional reactions, forgive me if I offend anyone here, but we often think of emotional reactions as being something that's primarily done by women. But I would contend that in this case, men are much more susceptible to being rocky soil than women, because men are more inclined to fully rely on their own abilities, their own strength to overcome challenges and trials. Men, listen up, but women, you should listen up too. Do everything yourself, that's not what Christ is preaching. And to think that way is prideful, and it means that you are valuing your own input over Jesus' work on the cross on your behalf. And this heart condition might also be a little bit more dangerous than last week's heart condition as well. This soil looks really good on the surface, especially to outsiders. And even to you yourself, you can convince yourself that growth spurt that I had in the very beginning when I first heard the word of God spoken and I so joyfully accepted it and grew so quickly in those first few days, weeks, that might convince you that everything's okay. But I want to warn you, if you grew so quickly in the beginning, what was causing that really quick growth? And what was your understanding of the word of God? Was it maybe a reaction in an emotional experience where you may not have been fully aware of what you were up to? Or were you cognizant that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, not just an inspirational speaker? Did you think that accepting Jesus would bring glory, riches, and good health? When we look to Jesus, we're not just looking for a helping hand just because we're hurt or want more. We need Jesus because we're a lost people who need to be found. We are sinners, and we certainly need a Savior. And Kelsey and I, the past few weeks, we've been preparing for a hard season ahead. This is a season where we will have much disappointment and much frustration. We are planting a garden. And it seems like a great plan, and we do this every year. We're very excited to dream of the surplus of crops we're going to have from our little 8x12 raised bed garden. We're going to be able to can and freeze so much that we're going to be able to survive through the entire year just off of what we get off the land, and maybe we'll get a deer and some squirrels, and we'll be good for the winter, baby, right? Yeah. But it's really great because we'll also be able to share with our neighbors whose gardens are not nearly as grand as ours. Their raised beds are made out of plastic. Ours are made out of stone. but it usually takes us about a month or so to realize that we're not going to keep after this garden. We're not going to do the daily weeding that's needed. We'll water it, you know, three or four days a week for the first 2 weeks, and then it won't happen any longer. And by August, our little garden is going to look a lot more like Death Valley than it is Eden. But this year, I've got a very interesting story about that garden. It took one day for it to go badly this year. This past Tuesday night, we had some spaghetti squash seeds that we had grown up from seeds inside in little pots, and they grew very tall. They were about 10 inches long, and I decided, okay, now's the time to take them outside. And I took them outside Tuesday night. I planted them, six of them in a nice row. I could have done a few more because they grew really, really well inside, but we just didn't have room in the garden for much more. So I planted them, put their little roots down in, gave them a lot of water, and then the next morning, came out, watered them. They were still alive. But then that evening I came. I don't know, does anybody remember what the high temperature was on Wednesday? Yeah, like in the 90s, and a little bit sunny, right? So when I came back that evening, expecting to see my spaghetti squash, you know, thriving in their newfound freedom, breathing in the clean air of the outside. I'm not, inside our air is pretty clean too, but no, these spaghetti squashes, they did not make it. Less than 24 hours, they were dead as a doornail, laying down on the ground, so shriveled up. It was a very sad scene. It was a kind of funny scene, actually. But these 10-inch tall plants, they only had like these little 2-inch long roots. When the sun became so hot, the roots could not absorb enough water to keep the plant alive. And the roots also couldn't get down in the cooler parts of the soil. You know, the first couple inches of the soil got pretty hot, so even the roots died off. So after I spent, you know, of course there's the obligation to 90 minutes of weeping and wailing. I had to change into and then out of my sackcloth underwear, and I rolled around in ashes for a while. But I thought to myself, Davis, you remember what your sermon is about this week, right? And I was like, I've got an illustration. The time was just too perfect not to use it today. Too perfect. So I allowed these plants to grow far too tall inside for the amount of soil that they had supporting them. And that really did not allow the roots to grow well. But as I said, I hadn't invested too much into them. And it really was not, it wasn't too big a deal to see them there dead. But that is, it's a much harder thing to see friends, family, or in my case, a lot of like staff members who I have invested a lot of time and a lot of prayer in. And I've seen God do great things in their life. And it is very hard to see them shrivel up when the heat comes, when they can't handle the heat. And when the spaghetti squash, when they fall away, when they're scorched by the sun, they're not damned. Am I allowed to say that? Okay. But souls are a different story. It is a much harder thing. There are eternal consequences if we allow these rocks to stay in our soil. And I think that would be a really sad and a low place to end. But I still have another 50 minutes left, so I'm going to bring in the good part of the story. So, and here's the good part. Soil cannot remove rocks from itself. That's just not a characteristic that soil has. But good gardeners can. Good gardeners are really good at picking rocks out. And I know a really, really good gardener. He's the son of the one that created the Garden of Eden, the most perfect garden ever. Beautiful garden. And Jesus' dream, his vision, is to bring us back to that garden. And I think that is just like a beautiful, beautiful thing to consider. So I'm going to read quickly from a passage in Ezekiel. This was 600 years before Christ came. This is a quote from God. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And this is a promise from God 600 years before Christ. And the promise is Christ. He has given us a way to have the very Spirit of God within us. He has given us a way to appear spotless and blameless and perfect before him. He sent his son, Jesus, to take upon himself the full punishment from God for the sin of Adam's helpless race. We've been out of the garden for a while, but we do have a chance to go back to it. And Jesus, he did not die on a cross and rise again so that we can shout his name in praise Sunday morning and then forget about it for the rest of the week until next Sunday. He didn't sacrifice himself and rise from the dead and ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of God, acting as our mediator, and then forget about us when the sun gets hot. He loves and cares for you, and he will remove the rocks from your soil when you get rid yourself of these filthy clothes of pride, deceit, and selfishness, and say, Lord, I want you to not just be in my life, but I want you to be my life. Lord, will you take these rocks out of my soil, these obstacles in my soil, and allow me to be the good, fruitful soil that you picture for me. Lord God, thank you so much for being a good gardener that longs to see us with you in the garden. God, please hear our cries, hear our desires to have the rocks removed from our soil. And God, please let us be a church that is full of good soil, that has great fruit grow from it. Let this be a church that sees change in Williamsport, in Lycoming County, all the sufferings of our neighbors, of our family here in this church. God, please remind us constantly that there is a greater purpose for this suffering than just our personal comfort. But God, you certainly have a perfect will for our lives, and you will be glorified through them. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.